Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands and love him? God, you're good to us today. Lord, we thank you for your presence that's here this morning. Thank you that we can come into your house and feel after you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a great presence of the Lord is here this morning. In his presence is the answer to every problem, the solution to every dilemma. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know him today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4, I'll begin reading at verse 16. I want to say what a privilege it is to be here. Excited to be with you today. I love coming to New Life. And you guys have a great church. And I just, every time I come, I always feel like I gained more than I left. And amen. I just like to watch, be a part, soak it in. Amen. And what a great spirit of worship and praise. And your pastor has, ever since I've even been old enough to be cognitive of that kind of stuff, has been a leader among us, worship, praise. And I want to get everything I can get. Amen. And it's good to be here. Glad my wife's with me today. Hallelujah. And amen. She hasn't even heard what I'm about to preach, so amen. So if I can keep her attention for the next 30 minutes, I got yours. Amen. And, I'm glad she's with me this morning. And Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. He gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness, wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said unto them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." He said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when the great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. None of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, rose up, thrust him out of the city, led him into the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Amen. He said, "I tell you a truth, many widows were in Israel, and many lepers were in Israel." I want to preach this morning with the help of the Holy Ghost. My title will make sense, I hope, after a few minutes. And if it doesn't, well, come to me after church and I'll explain it to you. Amen. But I want to preach this morning about crumbs and dirt. Crumbs and dirt. Let's ask God to help us today. Father, we trust you. We lean upon your word this morning. God, I ask you that your word would find rest in every heart, find rest in every mind today. God, convict us, I pray, of the coming judgment. Convict us today of salvation. I ask you, God, that you would anoint my mind that I could follow you clearly. Anoint my mouth that I could speak what you would say. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Would you clap your hands to heaven and thank him for his presence here this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. This chapter, Luke chapter 4, is a very peculiar chapter. It is the narrative, if you will, of Jesus when he first comes back home after Luke chapter 1, 2, and 3. Now, there's a lot of things that have happened. Luke chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. He's healed the sick. He's cleansed lepers. He's done many miracles. He's shown himself powerful on all kinds of fronts. The Bible says that the fame of him went throughout the region all around after he came out of the temptation in the wilderness. And he comes out of that temptation in the power of the Spirit. He heals, he delivers, he sets free. And his fame, the Bible said, the news that he was doing great things, the words that Jesus was performing the miraculous went throughout the whole country. And so Jesus thought it was time to go home. And so Luke tells us in our text that he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. He came back to the place that he grew as a child and a teenager and as a young adult. Amen. And I would submit to you this morning that nobody knows you quite like the home folks know you. Amen. Someone observed the other day that the young people in America were growing considerably worse than any other generation. And I simply just chimed in. I said, you know, I'm glad nobody had a camera phone when I was a teenager. Hallelujah. We just know more about it now. Amen. But I'm glad there wasn't somebody recording every moment of every day when I was a teenager, because I made some dumb moves. Amen. But I would think about it as Jesus goes home. Amen. And he comes back to the place that he was raised. And he's already famous, the Bible says, for lack of a better word. I don't care for the word famous, but that's the word Luke used. He was famous already, Brother Sutton, all throughout the region for healing and for delivering and for operating in the power of the Holy Ghost. And he comes back to his country, the house, the city, the town, the hamlet, whatever it was that he was raised in. He goes to church, the Bible says, as his custom was. Amen. If you think you don't need church, just read that little scripture and let the Holy Ghost convict you. Jesus went to church so much, amen, it was his custom. Hallelujah. I go to church not because I feel like it. I go to church not because I want to, not because I'm in. I will tell you, it's my custom. I don't think about going to church on Sunday morning. Amen. I get up and start getting ready to go because that's what my custom is. Amen. You got to make it your custom. Amen. If you have an option, there's some days you're going to check out. But I want to tell you, you need to raise your children, raise your family. Amen. We have a custom of going to church. This is what we are. This is who we are. This is what we do. Amen. If you have a discussion on Saturday night about whether or not you're going to church, you need to change that. Amen. We're going to church morning, noon, night, whenever they have it, rain, shine, sleet, don't matter to us. We're going to church because that's our custom. Jesus went to church. That was his custom, the Bible says. And he went to the synagogue where he had been before. And He's the visiting guy that's there. You know, we're glad to see him back home. And he's in the church. And Jews kind of have a different way of having church than we do. Man, I'm kind of glad we don't have church like they do. But they kind of just, there's no real appointed singer or appointed preacher. You just kind of go as you feel, you know. And this guy looks like he's got a good word. Let's let him talk today. And so the Bible says that the ruler of the synagogue kind of brought the book to Jesus and said, "Why don't you say a word for us?" And so Jesus is handed the book of Isaiah. And so he opens it to Isaiah chapter 62, I believe it is. And he begins to read a scripture that I read you in our text. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, the year when all the slaves are set free, and the year when all the debts are paid, and all the things that are broken are fixed, and all the things that are lost are found." And I want to tell you, Jesus stood up and he said, "This is more than just a scripture that I want to read in your hearing. Amen. This is more than just a messianic prophecy that I want to talk to you about today." But he laid the book down and he said, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He was saying it once and for all for everybody who would listen. I am the Messiah. It was more than just a reading of an old text. It was a messianic prophecy. And he said, "Today, in the person of Jesus Christ, this scripture is fulfilled. I'm here to heal the brokenhearted. I'm here to set the captives free. I'm here to open the eyes of the blind. I'm here to open the prison." I want to tell you, Jesus said, "I'm here to do miracles. I'm here to, oh my God, have mercy. I'm here to help somebody. I'm here to fix problems. I'm here. Today is this scripture fulfilled in your ear." Over 60 major prophecies, 270 ramifications about the coming of Messiah in the Old Testament. Each one of them was fulfilled completely to the letter in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's 1 in 10 to the 17th power. The odds that would all happen in coincidence in one man. And Jesus said, "I've come to set at liberty every captive. I've come to fulfill every scripture. I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law." Jesus was saying, "I'm the very God of heaven. I'm made visible to earth. I'm God made in the image of man. And I've come back to prove myself. I'm here. Come all ye weary. Come all ye broken. Israel, how often would I gather you under my wings?" I'm here. Today is this scripture fulfilled. The Bible says that he sat down and they bear him witness and they marvel at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. And here's what I'm going to preach. But their concept of God was a little bit off. Their perception of Jesus had a long ways to go. Because as he sat down, fulfilling that most important of all, the Isaiah prophecies, and that one that thread that seemingly ran all the way through the Old Testament into the New. And he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled." The Bible says, as he sat down, that they began to look around and they marveled at what he said. And they thought of the wonderful, gracious words that came out of his mouth. But the Bible said, they looked at each other and said, "Is not this Joseph's son?"
Their idea of God wasn't big enough. Their idea of Jesus Christ was too clouded by their own thought and their own condition. Their idea of who he was clouded by who they thought he should be. And they looked at Jesus. They looked at the Messiah. They looked at healing in the wings of God. They looked at the miracles and all the wonders that he had already done. And they said, "Is not this Jesus' son?" I want to tell you that sometimes we get so familiar with God that we come into his house, and the spirit that we felt here this morning, amen, when we first felt it, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost, help me, Jesus. The first time we felt what we felt today, we were slain. We were put in wonder and awestruck, and we ran to the altar and we cried out to that spirit that we felt in this house. But the longer we come around Jesus and the longer we've been in church, we get familiar with him. Oh, it's just God. When you get familiar with Jesus, you can sin and not be convicted. When you get familiar with Jesus, you can treat him any way you want to treat him, because he's just Joseph's son. But I want to tell you, he's more than Joseph's son. He's the Messiah. He's the miracle worker. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is not this Joseph's son? This is just Joseph's. If you are who you say you are, Jesus read their thoughts and he said, "I know what you're going to tell me. Physician, heal thyself. Everything you did in Capernaum, do it here. If you really are who you say you are," thank you, brother, "show us a miracle." How many times have you done that to God? Raise your hand. "God, if you're real, do this for me." "Well, God, I've been worshiping you all this time, and if you're really real, you ought to do this. Answer this prayer for me. Prove yourself to me." I wonder how much and how often God gets tired of proving himself to his people. How many times does God have to reassure us that he is our Father? How many times does God have to reassure us that he is our Savior? How many times does God have to reassure us that the spirit that's inside of us is more than a feeling? It's more than just a good measure, but it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And so they sat back. "Show us a miracle. If you can do it there, you can do it here. Your move, Jesus." Jesus says, "A prophet's not without honor, save in his own country." And then he uses that old word that many of us use. But, "I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, the greatest prophet that ever lived, the most powerful man probably that ever existed, Elijah. He said there were many widows in Israel when Elijah was a prophet, but none of them got the miracle." Ooh. He said there were, he was God remembering in this moment of reflection, standing in this synagogue in Nazareth as he's remembering his Godhead as he looks back and he remembers, because the Bible said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth seeking somebody whose heart is right so he can show himself powerful on their behalf. I can see Jesus as he's remembering, "I looked all throughout Israel. I knew where every need was. I knew where every widow was. I knew where every person was that qualified for the miracle I was about to send. I knew where every he, my God, have mercy. I knew where there were widows all throughout Israel." In fact, he said, "There were many widows, but unto none of them was Elijah sent. He said, I looked all throughout Israel. I was the God of Israel. But Israel couldn't decide if they wanted me to be their God. And then at the time that I was talking about, he said, they were halting between two opinions. Is Baal God or is Yahweh God? They didn't even know who God was. My own people, the only God, the only people that I'd ever revealed myself to, the only people that I'd ever heard their prayer, the only people that I'd ever touched and visited, they didn't even believe I was God. They were worshiping Baal. They were worshiping idols. They had a king named Ahab, had a queen named Jezebel, and they couldn't decide if they wanted to serve the God of heaven or a stone statue. And I'm telling you, he said, there were many widows in Israel, but there wasn't any faith. And so the miracle got sent to a woman in Zarephath, a widow of Sidon. She wasn't even a people. She couldn't even pray to God. She couldn't even hear God. She couldn't even petition him, Brother Sutton, because Israel was his only people. But God said, I looked throughout my own people and I couldn't find anybody that had enough faith to get a miracle. I couldn't find anybody that had enough faith to bring a sacrifice. I couldn't find a widow with enough faith to say, I'm going to just trust God. So I went to a city called Zarephath and I found a widow woman there, and she was lonely and she was broken and she was empty, but she had faith. Because when Elijah came to her and said, make me a cake, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. I don't have a God. He don't answer me, but I know your God's real. I know your God's real. As the Lord thy God liveth. I don't have a cake. She said, I got a handful of meal and a small amount of oil, and I'm about to make a cake for me and my son, and we're going to die. And Elijah said, I know you've never heard God, and I know God's never heard you, and you're a Gentile, and there's no possibility that you're ever going to know God because you're a Gentile. But I want to ask you, will you give God what you have? She said, you can have my meal. You can have my oil. I'll give it to you. As the Lord thy God liveth. And the Bible says that she made the prophet a cake. And when God answered her prayer and his petition, the Bible said the barrel of meal wasted not and the cruse of oil didn't fail. Why? Because God was looking for somebody to pour out a miracle on. He said, I just need somebody that'll give me an offering. I just need somebody that believes I'm God, because I've got the supernatural. I've got provision. I'm trying to give it to you. There were many widows. There were a lot of widows that qualified in Israel, but there wasn't any faith. And I tell you another truth, he said. There were many lepers in Israel. In the days of Elisha, I've often read this scripture, but I never felt until just a few weeks ago what I'm about to preach. But Jesus named two of the greatest prophets that had ever lived, Elijah and Elisha. 7 major miracles done by Elijah. 14 major miracles done by Elisha, one after his death. And Jesus said, at the time of two of the greatest prophets that ever lived, the guys that could turn bitter water sweet, the guys that could make axe heads swim, the guys that could call fire down from heaven, the guys that could say, open their eyes, and the hills and the mountains were on fire with chariots and horses and armies round about the prophet Elijah. I want to tell you, Jesus said, in the day of the greatest supernatural moving of the Holy Ghost that there's ever been, in the day when there was miraculous things happening on every corner, there were many widows and many lepers, but none of them got a miracle. many lepers were in Israel in the days of Elisha, but none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Whew. I wonder if God was remembering standing in that Nazarene synagogue. I wonder, Brother Sutton, did he remember looking throughout Israel? Here's a leper. There's a leper. Here's some lepers. Four lepers leaning against the wall. Four lepers, 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 lepers. And I sent you a prophet with healing in his hands. And I sent you a prophet that died with a miracle yet unfinished because nobody came and asked for cleansing. But he said there was a story. There was this little girl who had grown up in Israel, and she was taken out of Israel by a conquering army, and she was now the servant to one Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria. And he was a great man with his master and honorable, but the Bible said he was a leper. And he had this little girl in his house who was a servant. She waited on his wife, and she knew her master was a leper. And the Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 3, she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord was with the prophet that is in Samaria." There were lepers all over the city. There were lepers all over the country. But none of them came for healing. None of them even sent for a handkerchief. But there was a little girl carried away to captivity. There was a little girl that was a message to a, by God have mercy. There was a little girl who was preaching a message to a Gentile nation. Amen. If there is any God, he's the God that's in Israel. If there is any God, he's the God that's in Israel. I just wish you could go and see the prophet in Samaria. You know what Naaman said? Let's go. Rimmon hasn't healed me. So he sent a letter from his king to the king of Israel. Can I come see the prophet at Samaria? And so he loaded down a wagon train with gold and silver and talents of gold and brass and all the good stuff and clothes and beautiful things. And he came on his way to Samaria. Whoa, have mercy, Jesus. And he shows up with all these beautiful horses and all these gifts and all this wonderful stuff parked outside the preacher's house. And he says, "I'm here. I need healing." And the Bible says Elisha wouldn't even speak to him. I'm not going out there to talk to a Gentile. He's here for healing. He's got all these gold and all this stuff for you. And he said, "I'm not going to talk to him. He's not even a people." Kind of reminds you of Matthew chapter 15. Where a little woman came out of the coast of Canaan, and the Bible said her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil, and she came to the feet of Jesus, and she said, "Jesus, would you heal my daughter? Jesus, I need you to touch my baby." And the Bible said he answered her not a word. Say nothing to her. He didn't even address her. She's laying on her face, worshiping him like nobody in Israel would. She's laying on her face, worshiping him. In fact, she said, "Behold, Jesus, thou son of David, I've come to praise you. I've come to worship you." And the Bible said he answered her nothing. The disciples said, "Send her away." She said, "You ain't sending me away." And so finally he turns to her and he says, "Listen, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Should I take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. He called her a dog. He wouldn't even look her in the eye. You're not a people. Paul said, you who are not a people, you weren't even prayer. You couldn't even pray. God wouldn't even hear you. God wouldn't answer. He said, should I take the children's bread and give it to the dogs? And she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I know you're not my God, but you're still my master. I know I don't belong to you, but I still believe you made me. Even the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall. I just want some crumbs. I don't want the bread. I don't want to sit at the table, but I just want the crumbs from the master's table. He said, I hadn't seen faith like this. He said, go thy way. Thy daughter is whole. Naaman standing outside. Maybe something rises in his spirit. He's aggravated. This guy won't even talk to me. The servant of the man of God comes out the door and says, go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Naaman was wroth, the Bible says. He was mad. He said, behold, I thought he would surely come out and talk to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike the place where the leprosy was. He won't even talk to me. He won't even pray to God standing in front of me. Are there not rivers in Samaria, Syria, rivers in Damascus that I could go dip in? Somebody comes up to him and says, hey, if he had asked you to do some great thing, you'd have done it. Just do it. He says, okay. And so he goes down to the Jordan River, brother, and he dips 1 time and nothing happens. And he dips 2nd time, nothing happens. 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th time, nothing happens. But the Bible said when he came out of the water on the 7th time that his flesh was like a new baby's. And the Bible said he began to rejoice. Watch this. And he turned to all those that were with him and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in the whole earth except in Israel. God have mercy. He said, there's not even a God in the whole world except in Israel. And Jesus said, I was in Israel. There were many widows, many lepers. The only place there was a God, and nobody wanted healing. Naaman comes back, tries to offer gifts, thanksgiving to Elisha. He says, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, there's no God in the whole earth. He said, here, I want to give you these things. He said, I'm not going to take any of that stuff. Take it out of here. He urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, here's where I want to go, and I'm about to finish preaching. Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of dirt? Because I'm here in Israel, the only place where there's a real God, the only place where God dwells, the only place he can be felt. And I gotta leave here because I'm not a people. I'm a Gentile. I don't get to stay around and worship this God. In fact, I gotta go back to the house of Rimmon, my God, that God made out of stone, that God made out of wood. I know he can't answer. I know he's not real because I know there's only one God in the whole earth. But I can't dwell here. So all I'm asking for is 2 mule loads of dirt because I want to take it back. And when I go to the house of Rimmon, and I know there's not a God like God in Israel, I want to get me a handful of that dirt from the place where God is, from the place where he answers, from the place where he heals, and I want to take it into Rimmon. And when I bow down to Rimmon, I know he won't hear me, but I'm going to sprinkle a little dirt on the ground, and I'm going to be bowing, though he won't hear me, though he won't answer, I'm going to bow before the God of Israel.
I just want some dirt. I just want a little bit of this place where God is. And Jesus said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I have set before you a table spread. You can have, oh, come and dine, the master calleth. But just like the marriage feast, nobody wants to come. Because all Israel can see is Joseph's son. And all Israel can see is Baal. And all Israel can see is God hadn't delivered us from the Romans. And all Israel can see is he was born in a manger. But there's some people in the earth that said, I just want crumbs and dirt. I know Israel don't want you. I know they came to you. You came to your own, and your own received you not. But anything you'll give me, I'll take crumbs. I'll take dirt, because I know there's no God in the whole earth except in Israel. The centurion comes. Luke chapter 7. He says, I got a servant that's sick. Musicians come. And when he heard of Jesus, he didn't question. He didn't doubt. He didn't try to disprove his lineage. He didn't call him a devil. That's what Israel did. When he heard of Jesus, he said unto him, unto the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come heal his servant. They came to Jesus. They besought him, and they said, I'm not worthy. He was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. The Jews said, this guy needs a healing. This guy needs a miracle. He's worthy for you to go healing. He built us a church. He loves us. Jesus went with them. And when he came as far as the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest be under my roof. I'm a Gentile. And you're the holy God of Israel. I'm not even worthy that you should come into my house. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to do thy servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And he turned about and he said unto the people, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. I came to you, Israel. I wanted to be your God. I came to set at liberty the captives. I came to heal the broken. I came to set at liberty them that are bruised. I came to open the prison doors. But you would not. But there's some people out there that just want crumbs and dirt. And they just say, Jesus, if you'll say a word, it'll be done. And so Israel, if you don't want me, I'm going to turn to those that just want crumbs and dirt. And I'm going to be their God. And those who were not a people now are become the people of God. And Paul said, we can come boldly to the throne of grace for help in the time of trouble. Stand with me this morning. As we sit in this house this morning, the miraculous is here. The supernatural is here. Jesus is here. But I wonder how many of us have already mentally turned on our pot roast. And how many of us are already headed to Chili's or Habaneros or wherever it is we're going? I wonder, when's the last time you said, God, I want to take a little bit of this out of here with me. Just give me some dirt from this place. Because I know God's real. When's the last time you just sat at his table and said, I just want whatever God wants for me to have today. I got kids. I got three little kids. Darling babies. My wife has spoiled my kids to death. I got a kid that won't eat pizza. I told her the other day, I said, all humans eat pizza. I don't like pizza. She said, I don't like biscuits and jelly. Something's wrong with you. And all the things that I used to just like would have committed murder to get, she don't even like them. It's like all the stuff you could have, and that's what you want. Ramen noodles. I even tried this on her. I said, Katrin, did you know that ramen noodles are number 3 on the top 10 worst foods you can eat? I like them, Dad. And this is even how picky she is. She doesn't like ramen noodles when I cook them. Mama has to cook them. There's only one way to cook ramen noodles. But Daddy does something to them and they're not good. She won't eat them because she's spoiled. I wonder how many times Jesus feels that way with us. Set before you a table in the presence of your enemies. I bid you come to the feast. I can't come. I bought a new car and I got to go drive it. I can't come. I found my girlfriend that I've been looking for all these years. This is Bible. I just got a new job, bought a new piece of land. I got to go look at it. I can't come to your feast. The master said, you know what? I'm tired of this. Go find me a crackhead. Go get somebody out from under a bridge and tell them you're going to feed them. Bring them to the table. I spread this table for Israel, for my beloved, the apple of my eye, but she wouldn't eat. But I want to find some people that say, can I have some crumbs? Can I have some dirt? I just want to come to your presence. Oh. Here's what I pray today happens. That we could remind ourselves when crumbs and dirt were precious in our eyes. Now we live in houses we didn't build. We drink from wells we didn't dig. And we're enjoying the blessing and the favor of God. But he's got to turn tricks to keep our attention. And the world from whence we were delivered from now attracts us again. I just want some crumbs. Just give me some dirt to take out of here. Because there's no God in the whole earth except in Israel. Jesus said, I was here to heal. I was here to do miracles. But I'm just Joseph's son. I'm just old hat. I'm just familiar. We live in a world today, I know you've been standing for a moment, I'm done. We live in a world today of unequaled familiarity. I meet people that I don't even know their name, and they know how many kids I have and how old they are and what they like and what they don't like. Social networking has made us so familiar. There's no more mystery. When we meet, we don't even have anything to talk about because we know everything. And that spirit has bled over into us in our relationship with God. When's the last time you sat awestruck by the presence of God? When's the last time you couldn't leave because He had your attention riveted so directly? I'm here to do great things. And we sit here this morning on this Sunday morning at 15 to 12. Many widows, many lepers. Many needs that are represented among us. There's many of us here today that need the Holy Ghost. Many of us here today need healing. Many of us here today need answers to prayers, solutions to problems. But I ask you this question. Is he Joseph's son? Or is he the one that can speak a word and it'll be done? Is he Joseph's son, or is he the only God in the whole earth? Is he Joseph's son, or is he the master that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be whole today? It's up to you. What's your perception of God? Hallelujah. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder, is there anybody that says, I want to get back to being satisfied when I could just sit in His presence? I want to get back to the place where the preacher could keep my attention no matter what he preached, because I want to love Him again today. Hallelujah. If you need the Holy Ghost here today, I want you to make your way to this altar and say, God, you hear not sinners, but if any man will be a worshiper, him will he hear. I just want some dirt to carry back to my house. I just want a little bit of the presence of this spirit that I feel here. I want to take it with me. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you need a healing, I wonder if you could come and be like the centurion and say, God, if you'll just say in a word, I'll be whole today. I'm not going to make you impress me today, Jesus. I'm not going to make you lavish me with gifts and favors. I just want some crumbs. I just want some dirt today. I just want to remember that there's no God in the whole earth except the God of Israel today. Come on, we're many lepers. We're many widows. I don't want to miss my moment today. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? When he brings my miracle, will he find faith in my heart? When he brings the answer to my prayer, will he find faith in my heart? Or will he find someone sitting and saying, show us what you did in Capernaum. Heal thyself, physician. Or will he find a group of people saying, even the master feeds the dogs, the crumbs that fall. Come on, our hands are lifted. Let's begin to worship Him all across this house today. I just want to be in Your presence today, God. I just want You to touch me today. I just want to answer You today, God. Oh, sing it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Can I take just 2 mules loads of dirt back with me? I want to be in Your presence, Jesus. Come on, let's pray today. Let's seek Him today. Hallelujah.
I don't want to be a leper that misses my cleansing. I don't want to be a widow that misses the miracle. I want him to find me and empty himself out on me today. Oh, in your presence today. Hands are lifted, eyes are closed, mouths are singing, worshiping. God, answer our prayer today. We want to see your presence today. We want to feel your glory today. I'm a widow. I need a miracle. I'm a leper. I need cleansing. I'm coming to you today. I believe in you today, Jesus. You don't have to impress me. You don't have to. I just want to be in your presence. Come on, reach over and pray with your neighbor. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't want to miss my moment today. I don't want to be a leper that dies a leper. I don't want to be a widow that misses out on the miraculous. Oh, as the Lord thy God liveth, I'll give you a cake. I'll give you my meal. I'll give you my all. Many widows, many lepers. I'm here to heal. I'm here to touch. I'm here to set free. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to set at liberty the captives, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Set us free today.
Fill me with your glory
and fill me, Lord.
Fill me
with your power.
Oh, I just want his presence today. I just want his presence today. I just want his presence.
I want to be like you, Jesus.
Fill me with your goodness
and your love.
The love that has no limits.
Fill me with your spirit.
Fill me with your spirit. Lord, I long to be like you.
So empty me of anything.
If you're here today, just lift your hands and cry out to him. God, I want the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I just want some dirt from this place where he meets with us. I just want a little bit of his presence to take to my life. I want to be touched by him today. I believe he's real. I don't want him to be Joseph's son. I want him to be my God today.
You fill me with your glory.
Oh
Lord, fill me with your power. Fill me with your spirit.
Oh
Lord, I long to be
like.
I want to be just like you, Jesus. So fill me and with your love. Feel me, Lord.
Fill me with your spirit. Lord, I long to be like you.
Oh, I long to be like you. So fill me
with your glory.
Won't you fill me, Jesus?
Fill me with your power.
With your presence, Lord.
Love that has no limits.
Oh.
our hands are extended to him. I want you to be my God today. I don't want you to be Joseph's son. I want you to be the God of heaven. I want you to be the God of my life. I want you to be the God of my spirit today, Jesus. Heal me. Touch me. Reveal yourself to me. I just want some crumb. I just want the dirt from this place where you meet with us, Jesus.
Fill me with your goodness,
with your love that has no limits. Fill me with your spirit, Lord.
Fill me with your spirit, Lord. I long to be like you.
Fill me with your glory.
Fill me with your glory.
Fill me with your power.
With your love.